Hi, so it's been a while since I did a video blog, and I'm here in beautiful Snowdonia. I'm just off the Miners Track, if you know the mountain Snowdon, and I've been out walking, and I had my camera on me, and I thought I'd have a break and use this as an opportunity really to catch up with you guys. And you know, I personally love nature, and I come here to get back in touch, to kind of feel grounded, to feel earthed, and to just enjoy remembering that even on a physical level we're part of something a bit bigger. And it's hopefully you can hear me. And I know it's a little bit windy here as well. Hello Blue, I've got my dog, he's just down here. Yeah, so a lot's happened since the last few videos that I did, and I've been doing a lot of just talking with people around the world, and got involved in some forums on Facebook and groups on WhatsApp and stuff like that. And there's some really good questions that have been brought up by people who are just starting out with meditation or have been meditating a little while. And one of them that has come up a few times actually is around the subject of Kundalini. Literally, what is Kundalini? Is Kundalini spiritual? What's the purpose of things like Kundalini yoga and things like this? And so I just wanted to talk a little bit about Kundalini and from my own experience, and see if I can put it into the perspective of the bigger picture. But before we do that, I'm just going to get my dog back because he's wandered off. Okay, so Kundalini. Keeping it really simple, if you start looking into Kundalini, there's a lot of tradition, there's a lot of different kinds of systems for activating the Kundalini, becoming more aware of Kundalini. There's lots of different names associated with it, and different aspects of Kundalini are treated slightly differently, the phenomena of Kundalini, if you like. So what is Kundalini? Well, in essence, Kundalini is the spiritual energy that flows around your body. It's part of your lower vehicles. By that I mean everything below your crown chakra. And it predominantly sits and resides in the base chakra, and therefore, because of the proximity to the sexual organs and what happens during intercourse, where the Kundalini can raise, there's a lot of sexual connotations as well to do with Kundalini. But in essence, it isn't purely sexual. It is actually regulating energy that flows around the different organs in your body and helps maintain your body's homeostasis. So it regulates your temperature, it regulates all kinds of aspects and functions within your body. So it's a natural thing, and it is flowing around your body all the time, or else you wouldn't function very well. Think of it a bit like the flow of current around an electrical circuit. So how much Kundalini is like how much potential do you have in the batteries. So you can build up your Kundalini, and that can be useful because I'll get onto some of the functions of the Kundalini when you start to really work with it, but it can be useful from a cleansing and healing point of view. And by doing various forms of meditation, for example mantras, which are designed to resonate within your aura and chakra system to help the flow of Kundalini, then you can start to A, become more aware of it, and B, strengthen the amount of Kundalini you have. Now, your Kundalini, where does it come from? Well, it is the sum of everything that you eat, everything that you drink, everything that you breathe, everything that you think. You know, it's the sum of all the different vibrations that you are, distilled down into pure energy. And it has two aspects. In some traditions, they're called Ida, Yes, Blue. Wants to go for a swim. That lake is cold. They're called Ida and Pingala, which are yin and yang. And the names aren't important. Just think about it in terms of there's yin energy and there's yang energy. And so that's masculine, feminine, hot, cold, fast, slow, full, empty. In other words, opposites. So these two energy currents, if you like, form the Kundalini. And when they flow around your system through the chakras, wherever they cross, because you have yin and yang, or negative and positive crossing, then they cancel each other out and you get a point of neutrality, and they actually cross at each of your main chakras. Now, you have more than seven chakras. You have lots of chakras. So every single joint in your body has a chakra in it. But the seven main ones, which are the base, sacral, solar plexus, the heart, the throat, the third eye, and the crown, they're the seven main ones. And that's the current or the flow, the kind of primary flow direction of your kundalini. Now, it resides in the base, and when it, to quote, when you raise your kundalini, it flows up through these different chakras, and what you experience can be quite tremendous, or you might not experience much. And that's the thing about kundalini, is whether you're aware of it or not, it's flowing. So one aspect of kundalini meditation is to increase the flow, increase the vitality of your kundalini, but the other aspect is to become more aware of it. And whenever you do meditation, you generally start to become more aware of what's going on inside. Blue, you can't go for a swim, you'll freeze. It's really cold there. And actually, that's really, he's just reminding me of something. Because it regulates temperature, when you see people, there's monks who are standing under waterfalls and they're not freezing, it's because they've raised their kundalini to produce more heat in response to the trauma of having cold water pouring down their body. So these are some of the practices people do to stimulate their kundalini, standing under a cold waterfall. And they may not even realise that what they're doing is stimulating the kundalini, but that's why I said there's so many different aspects to kundalini and the practices around it. Is kundalini spiritual? In some traditions, raising your kundalini is seen as, you know, enlightenment. It's not. It's really advantageous to someone who's on a spiritual journey, because one of the things that happens with raising your kundalini is that you clear out each of your chakras. So you can restore the balance in your energy system, and restoring the balance in your energy system makes it much easier for you to then be still in your meditation. Think about it like this: throughout life, you're picking up imbalances in what you eat, in what you do, in what you think, in how you sleep. All these different aspects of being alive create imbalances, and raising your kundalini effectively restores the balance. And it can actually vibrate the nervous system. So if you do a lot of kundalini, you may find that your sense of smell is enriched, or your vision, you see things more vividly. It's literally because it's cleaning out your nervous system. And when you're activating your kundalini, your pineal gland actually vibrates. And as you know, that's your third eye, that's your spiritual gateway. So is kundalini spiritual? Well, it's assistive towards spirituality, but it is not an end point. Remember what I said right at the start: kundalini exists within all the different levels that you already have access to. When you raise your kundalini, contrary to a popular myth, your crown chakra, although it may be stimulated, it isn't opened. The crown chakra is the kind of the gatekeeper of spirituality, so it's there to remind us that we're part of something bigger. But you can't activate it and open it from below, because there's nothing faster than it in the vehicles you already have. So if you think about everything being a vibration, your physical body being the slowest, your emotions being faster, your thoughts being even faster, as you work through your different layers, each vibration can be aware of everything that is at the same speed as it and everything below it, but it can't be aware of anything faster. In the same way that if something was so fast you couldn't see it, then you couldn't see it. And so when you raise your kundalini, because your kundalini exists below your crown chakra, it can't take you beyond your crown chakra. It operates in the vibrations that lead up to the crown chakra. And when people say they feel this chakra opening, it's actually there's in front of your crown chakra, there's another chakra here. And it's this chakra that gets stimulated when you raise your kundalini. And it feels amazing, and it is amazing, and it's highly beneficial, and it's highly recommended. But it isn't the end of a spiritual journey. It really is getting ready for a spiritual journey. So when your crown chakra is opened is when you're initiated. And the process of initiation means beginning. And I've talked a lot about this in video number one, which is what is light and sound meditation, and in that I talk about the different levels and how it is possible to go beyond them. And in there, I think I believe I said something along the lines of your mind, for example, cannot take you beyond your mind. And that's because your mind, which operates with thoughts, can only operate at that vibration. Therefore, it can't get fast enough to go beyond itself. And in the same way, Kundalini can't get fast enough to go beyond its own limits. So Kundalini is wonderful. I highly recommend it. And there's some fantastic yoga teachers out there that teach things, teach Kundalini yoga. And if anyone's interested, they should definitely check that out. But if you really are a seeker of truth, then as well as looking into things like Kundalini yoga, which has so many benefits, you really need to also look at, well, what is beyond that? What is beyond my crown chakra? And you can't explore that from below the crown chakra. You have to have an energy attunement which allows you to go beyond. And if you think about it, if this is the gatekeeper, it's like a one-way door. It can only be opened by something faster. And throughout history, there's traditions of different types of meditation. Well, different schools of meditation. They're all the same thing. Because there isn't one version of what's beyond here and someone else's version of what's beyond here. It just is, okay? So when you go beyond your crown chakra, it will be the same place, the same location, the same spiritual realizations, the same expansion as anyone else who's ever gone beyond their crown chakra. If you think about the way the world works, down here we have the myriad things. There's a mountain there and it's not that mountain there. There's duality. And that's how the world works. There's this complexity down here. As you start to go through the different layers, moving up into, say, the astral plane, and then into the mental plane, and the higher mental plane, and then the buddhic or intuitive plane, and then the atma or atomic plane, there's less complexity as it goes up. And when you get to that point, which is the crown chakra, beyond that, there is just the flow of love, the source. And there isn't two versions of this. There isn't, some group in India who've got a different version of this from some group in England. It's just that at different times there's been different teachers who've been able to reveal this. So I'm kind of putting this out there, not to dissuade people from exploring Kundalini, but actually to say, look, fantastic, I really admire anyone who's teaching Kundalini or who practices Kundalini yoga or Kundalini meditation and uses Kundalini mantras and stuff, but I'm encouraging you to explore what else. This isn't the end, this is just the beginning. So hopefully that's given you some idea of what Kundalini is. The only way you're really going to know for yourself is to actually experience it. And the interesting thing is, you don't have to have worked on your Kundalini to be initiated to go beyond your crown chakra and into pure spiritual energy, but it helps. And certainly with some of the people I've worked with in the past, when people have already got access to these higher levels, that's when we sometimes introduce them to Kundalini, because with these higher states of consciousness, it then becomes a lot easier to explore everything that's below there as well. And that includes Kundalini, because you've got so much more distance from everything in terms of where you're located when you're sitting in those faster energy currents, that then you can kind of step back and see your system, including your Kundalini energy, your chakras, your aura, and all these different things. Yeah, my little doggy's here, he's desperate to get going, so he's whining away. But I just thought I'd take this moment just to kind of catch back up with you guys and get out of the studio as well. I love nature, so I thought I'd bring the camera out here today. And if you've got any questions, please get in touch in the usual ways. You can go to my website, which is pureenergymeditation.com. But with all these things, whether I'm talking about initiation, Kundalini, mantras, yoga, there's only one way you're ever going to find out, and that's to do it for yourself. So if you take just one thing away from this video, then the message is, be an explorer, be a spiritual explorer. Find out for yourself. I never tell people, oh, you shouldn't do that or you shouldn't do this. I say, find out for yourself. Look into it, So Kundalini's great. It isn't the end. It's really preparation for something even more amazing. And anyone who knows how cool Kundalini can be should be excited about that prospect. And, there's many, many people out there that can reveal the light and sound energy that goes beyond your crown chakra. I'm one of them, and if I'm not near you, then I can put you in touch with people that are. So have a nice day, and keep exploring. And on that note, I'm going to keep exploring this mountain. Okay, take care.